Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts football podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. As always, I'm Jeremiah, and I'm back again with another episode for you guys. And, you know, I am going to talk about day four of the combine, which was the defensive backs. I will get to that later in the show. I'm going to talk about Adrian Peterson maybe possibly going to the Patriots. Maybe. And, of course, I didn't get to talk about the, you know, Jay Gruden extension with the Washington Redskins. I didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday. You know, I was talking about mainly about the combine throughout the whole show. But I have to talk about the possibility of the Las Vegas Raiders still happening. And it looks like the Raiders have secured the new Las Vegas stadium financing from Bank of America. So this is practically the third finance group that the franchise has secured from. So the Oakland Raiders have informed the NFL's finance and stadium committees yesterday that they receive a commitment from Bank of America Stadium to finance their proposed $1.9 billion, 65,000-seat dome stadium in Las Vegas, according to ESPN. The news of the Raiders finding new financing was first reported by the Daily News. So, of course, a relocation cannot happen until the NFL owners' meetings in Phoenix occurs later this month, which will be March 26th to the 29th, and 24 of 32 owners need to approve the relocation of the Raiders. So, of course, you know, the team, they are going to apply for relocation, and then that vote will happen later this month. But as you remember, the Raiders originally did have financing from casino mogul Sheldon Adelson. He withdrew his $650 million pledge in late January. And then, you know, Goldman Sachs was supposed to fill that gap, but then they withdrew their support as well. So it looked like that the Raiders had no financial support for this new stadium, and it looked like they're about to be in Oakland again for another year, maybe 2 years. So it looked like the Las Vegas Raiders were done. And with Bank of America now supposedly financing the stadium, or their financing partner, I think, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders, I think it's finally going to happen. Because the reason why, you know, Adelson pulled out in the first place is because, you know, he wasn't involved in, you know, he wasn't involved with the Raiders relocation plan. And what I mean by that, because, you know, Adelson said in a statement that he was pulling out because he was not included in the Raiders' lease proposal to the Las Vegas stadium. So it looks like Adelson wanted some part of the Raiders' stake or some part of the stadium. And most of the NFL owners, I guess they didn't like that. But it looks like, you know, with Bank of America, you know, a corporate bank, you know, a partner that I think the NFL owners will be more comfortable with that partnership. I do think that with the owners' meetings coming up later this month, I do think that the owners of the NFL will approve of the relocation, because I think they like this partnership better than the partnership that the Raiders originally had with Adelson and Goldman Sachs. And, you know, the Raiders, they have identified the 62 acre plots on Russell Road, which is west of Interstate 15. And the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on the south end of the Las Vegas Strip. And they will also share the stadium with UNLV. So, if you have looked at this stadium, and if you haven't seen it by now, I think you've been living under a rock, but this stadium looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, it fits the Las Vegas vibe. I just absolutely like the way this stadium looks. But, you know, Mark Davis told ESPN that this fall he planned on staying in Oakland the next two seasons. So even if a team is approved to move to Vegas, looks like the Raiders will be in Oakland for the next 2 years. Because it looks like if this move does happen, you know, the stadium would not be completed until possibly 2020. So the Raiders will hold a two-year lease option on the Oakland Coliseum. And Davis did say he wants to bring a Super Bowl championship back to the Bay Area, but who knows? Maybe they can do it this year. Maybe they can do it in 2018. And my overall thought on, you know, the Raiders moving to Vegas, you know, I'm not going to lie. When the Raiders did announce that they were desired to move to Vegas, the couple of things that brought to my mind was that, well, if any NFL team were to move to Vegas, I do think that it will be the Raiders, because I just think that they, that history, that culture, you know, the type of culture that that franchise has held for so long, for its entire history, I feel like it fit the city of Vegas, you know, because when you think of Vegas, you think of, you know, the clubs, you think of the high rollers, you think of like big money scene, you know, you think, I don't know, for some reason, I think of Frank Sinatra in Vegas. I don't know why, but I feel like the Raiders fit that lifestyle, and they have a really good fan base too. They have a really good fan base in Nevada. And if anybody were to move to Vegas, I think it would be the Raiders. But do I agree with it? No. I do think that the Raiders belong in either in Oakland or in L.A. I do think they belong in those two cities rather than Vegas. But, you know, this is the NFL. This is the business portion of the league. And this is strictly maybe a business move. There is some concern maybe they're not going to get a lot of fans to these games. But, you know, I do think that the Raiders will bring another entertainment aspect to the city of Las Vegas. And who knows, maybe they'll win. Maybe a lot of people around the country, maybe around the world, will want to see a Raiders game if they're good. And if they're not, if they're bad, if this team ends up turning bad, then I don't know. I think a lot of people are not going to want to go. But, you know, I do think that the Raiders would make more money off of their box seats in this new Las Vegas stadium than they would in the regular seats. You know, a lot of NFL teams, they do make their money on box seats. Actually, that's not just the NFL, but I think honestly in the NBA, in the MLB too. So they make a lot of their money in the luxury box seats. And, you know, when you have a team in Las Vegas, you're going to have a lot of casino moguls possibly attending. They're definitely going to, they wanted to be a part of this, but I don't think the league wanted like a casino partnership, which is fair. I don't think they should do that either. But I do think that if this does indeed happen, you know, I think I don't think that they're going to lose a lot of fan support. I don't think they're going to go crazy like the San Diego Chargers fans did. I don't think they're going to go like that. But I do know that if this does indeed happen, you know, they're still going to have a lot of fan support. I think the Raiders are the team, are one of the few teams in the league that has fans across the nation. So I think they belong in either Oakland or Los Angeles. But I do think with the Chargers moving to L.A., I don't think the league wants three teams in Southern California. Maybe they might. You know, San Diego did ask the Raiders to possibly ask for relocation, but the league, maybe they, I don't know if they want three teams in Southern California. That's kind of like a lot already. But I do think that they belong in L.A. or in Oakland. And I just think, hopefully, I just hope Oakland finds a way to keep this team. But you know what? They can't. They just don't have the assets to keep a football team there. And remember, you know, the A's, the Oakland Athletics even talked about moving from time to time the past decade. So this is something that remains to be seen. It looks like that the Las Vegas Raiders is possibly going to happen. And with a being financially backed by a corporate bank, I do think that partnership is something that the owners will like. And I can see, you know, a relocation move being approved by the end of this month. All right. Well, I'm going to take my last break. Not my last break. I'm sorry. I'm going to take my first break. I don't know why I said last, but I'm going to take my last break and I'm going to discuss Jay Gruden's extension with the Washington Redskins. And I'm going to discuss Adrian Peterson when I get back to the Going to Media Concepts football podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Going to Media Concepts football podcast. And over this past weekend, the Washington Redskins have signed Jay Gruden to a two-year contract extension. This was according to ESPN. Gruden, who turned 50 on Saturday, had 2 years left on his original five-year deal, and all of it was guaranteed, and the extension will now run through the 2020 season. And the thing that, actually, I'm not going to lie, this actually kind of surprised me a little bit, and for a couple of things. And, you know, Jay Gruden, he is 21-26-1 over the past 3 years. And he had 2 years left on his contract. So I didn't know if an extension was needed right away. I could probably see maybe 1 year being left on his contract and then extending him. But when you have 2 years guaranteed left, now he has four. So I don't know. I kind of think Jay Gruden had to be in a prove-it season this year. And, you know, the thing about this extension with Jay Gruden is that this marks the first time Redskins owner Dan Snyder has extended a head coach since he bought the team in 1999. So ever since Dan Snyder bought the team in 1999, he hasn't extended any coach. In fact, no head coach has lasted more than 4 years under Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder's had seven head coaches and one interim coach during his tenure. So then again, I kind of do think this was a good thing in that perspective. He wants stability at the head coaching position. And, you know, Jay Gruden has brought the Redskins to two winning seasons, and that was the first time. That's the first time that Washington posted consecutive winning seasons since 1996 and 97. Because remember, the Redskins won the NFC East in 2015. I think they were 10-6. And this past year, they went 8-7-1. But they did not end the year pretty well. I think they went 2-4 to win 2016. So they didn't play the best football the second half of the year. So that's one of the reasons why I thought maybe they should have waited on this. You know, they should have let Jay Gruden play it out to 1 year left and then extend him. But I can understand why Dan Snyder decided to do this. You know, I think he wanted stability at the head coaching position. You know, they wanted to not have so many question marks there. And I think all they need to do now, if they can get Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal, then I do think that this is a good move. But honestly, I don't think the long-term deal with the Kirk Cousins is going to happen anytime soon. I don't think he wants to be there. But I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins. I'm talking about Jay Gruden. And, you know, there was uncertainty at other levels of this organization. There was questions surrounding, you know, the general manager, starting quarterback. So this team has several questions. So from that point, I can see why this was done right now. You know, if you don't know, you know, GM Scott McClugan, he wasn't at the NFL Combine with the rest of the Redskins staff because he was attending a family matter. But still, there's still there's very uncertainty about, you know, Scott McClugan. And, you know, with them not being able to work a long-term deal with Kirk Cousins, you know, that's going to have a lot of prospects leave, you know, because they're going to have a lot of free agents leave, you know, like DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. Those guys are free agents. And Pierre Garçon, he's not going to be back. So this franchise has been it's been pretty dysfunctional ever since Dan Snyder bought it. And, you know, if Jay Gruden does happen to go through 2020, he will be the first coach to last 5 years or more since Norv Turner did in 1994 to 2000. So that pretty much tells you how much of the coaches this franchise has had. And, you know, from a stability standpoint, I do like this deal, but I just think they did it kind of soon. Because remember, Washington has gone 21-26-1 in Gruden's tenure. You know, he did go 17-14-1 these past 2 years. But I just think maybe it was a little soon. I do think that if there was 1 year left on the contract, I think it would have been better. But with, you know, this going to 2020, I do think this is going to bring a lot of stability. I do think they can get some coordinators there. I do think they can happen to get a quarterback there. If they happen to lose Kirk Cousins, maybe they can be in play for Mike Glennon. We don't know that. But I do think with Jay Gruden being there, provides stability, and I do think that this can cause them to get real good coordinators because, you know, coordinators, they look for that stability as well. Moving on to Adrian Peterson, you know, there's a chance maybe Adrian Peterson could take a pay cut to play for the New England Patriots. And honestly, when Adrian Peterson became a free agent, I thought New England was a realistic spot for him to land. And remember, Adrian Peterson has never been to the Super Bowl. He's been to the playoffs. I think he's only won like one or two playoff games in his entire career. He's been in the league for 10 years. And he's only won two playoff games, or one. And, you know, Adrian Peterson, I do think he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You just can't ignore his resume. I do think he is. And if he does happen to get this Super Bowl, if he happens to win one, that's the one thing he's missing. He will be for sure in the Hall of Fame at first ballot. So AP taking a pay cut to possibly play for the Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised. So the Patriots might get Brandon Marshall. So with AP possibly going to the Patriots, I can see it happening for a couple reasons. Because one, LeGarrette Blount is not going to be there. LeGarrette Blount is a free agent. LeGarrette Blount looks like he's going to want to make more money somewhere because the Patriots are not going to give him the money he wants. And remember, LeGarrette Blount had 19 touchdowns from the regular and postseason. 19 touchdowns. Can you imagine what AP can do in that role? AP could probably get 27 touchdowns. Because I do think AP can be a really good goal line back still. I do think if you have him at the 1 yard line at the goal line, I still think AP can run through guys. I don't think AP can be that guy to get like 70 yards, those 80 yard touchdowns. I don't think he can do that anymore. But I still think he can be productive on a good team. And I think he can be an early down back for the Patriots. I think if he's going to, if he wants to be a starter, I do think the Patriots are a really good team for him, a really good fit. And then they have the running back depth to take him off the field. Because remember, they got Deion Lewis, they got James White to handle the passing downs. And LeGarrette Blount, he was the early down guy. And he got 18 touchdowns. Imagine what AP can do. And the Patriots have always been reluctant to pay running backs like over $2 million per year. So Pearson's not going to make a lot. He's not going to make a lot of money. I do think they should give him an incentive laden deal. But there's a chance that maybe he can go somewhere else for more money. But I do think that for him to get a Super Bowl, I think AP should go to the Patriots. And remember, the Raiders are going to be in play. I don't know if they're going to want to pay him a lot of money. The Giants will definitely give him the money. And I can see him probably going back to the Vikings and maybe even the Texans. But I do think that the Patriots realistically can get AP. And, man, can you imagine seeing Tom Brady, watching Tom Brady with Adrian Peterson? Man, that's not fair at all. That's not fair at all. Well, I'm going to take my last break. I'm going to recap day 4 of the NFL Scouting Combine. We had the DBs going yesterday, so I'll talk about Jabril Peppers, because remember, he did work out with the linebackers, but he also did work out with the defensive backs as well. I'm going to talk about Dory Jackson, Jalen Myrick, and my favorite name, my favorite draft prospect name, Obi Melifonwu. Yeah, my favorite prospect name this year. So I'm going to talk about those guys when we get back to Going to Meet Concepts Football Podcast.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the Going to Meet Concepts Football Podcast. And day 4 of the combine, or the last day of the events, occurred yesterday. And of course, like last year, the defensive backs closed out the event. And we had some pretty good combine performances yesterday. Minnesota cornerback Jalen Myrick ran a 4.2840. Yes, that is literally like 0.06 seconds slower than John Ross. And Fabian Morneau ran a 4.35. Really good time by the UCLA cornerback. And Ohio State cornerback Marshawn Lattimore ran a 4.36. So, and then Jamal Adams also had a great day as well. Myrick's time tied the fastest by a defensive back since 2006. And with Myrick and John Ross, you know, hitting his record-breaking 40 time, this was the first time in the past 12 years that two players broke 4.3. So that is truly amazing. There's some really fast players in this this draft class. And I do think that this is a really strong defensive back draft class. I haven't remembered a draft class this deep ever. But I do think my favorite performance this year in the combine, has to go with a defensive back in Connecticut, and that is Obi Melifonwu. What a name. That's my favorite name this year, too. And, man, what a great combine this guy had. You know, he measured at 6'4", 219 pounds, so he's tall, he's big, and he ran a 4'4". He had a 44 vertical jump, and he had a 14.1 broad jump. So what amazing measurements, what amazing things that this guy did yesterday. And Melifonwu, he was pretty good at UConn, even though UConn did struggle this year. UConn, or I should say Melifonwu, he was pretty productive. He had 73 solo tackles. He had 12 118 tackles. And he had 4 interceptions, which was his most ever in UConn. So I do think Melifonwu did improve his draft stock. I do think that, you know, he was regarded to be a second rounder. I do think he can be a late first rounder. But I'm telling you right now, I think he can be a sleeper. I do think – I really like this kid. I think he's my favorite prospect to watch this year. And he has the size that teams are looking for now in a defensive back. He's listed at safety. I do think teams can possibly move him at cornerback. But he has the athletic traits. He has the size that, you know, teams look for. He's a four-year starter, so he does have that experience as well of in-game action. So I do think that he's someone that's – I think he can be a steal in the second round if he lasts that long. But I think he's going to be in the first round. And I think one of my favorite players in college football this year, Dory Jackson, had a really great day. He ran a 4.4240. He had a 36 vertical jump, and he had a 12.2 broad jump. You know, the vertical jump was maybe a little bit disappointing because remember, Dory Jackson was a long jumper at USC. So maybe the broad jump and the vertical jump were a little bit more disappointing because of his background in track and field. But I'm telling you right now, this guy is one of the best athletes in college football. You know, I think he's more than just a track athlete, and we've seen that. He made plays on offense, he made plays on defense and special teams. So I do think that, you know, because of his size, maybe it might drop him back into the second round. But I do think by the time the draft rolls around, I think Adoree Jackson could be considered a first-round pick. And, you know, this was one of the funnest players to watch in college football. And I do think he's definitely one of the biggest names from yesterday. So I do think that he will be one of the rookies to watch next year, no matter where he goes. But my overall perspective on the combine was that, you know, we had guys that, you know, that really made a mark. You know, John Ross, he probably improved his draft stock. Myles Garrett proved that he is the number one projected prospect. And, you know, we learned that Jabril Peppers can pretty much play anywhere on the field. Remember, he worked out with the linebackers. He was listed as linebacker on the Michigan roster. And, you know, he played safety at times. So I do think Jabril Peppers, with his versatility, he will be a first-round pick. And, you know, with Adoree Jackson, I do think he can be a late first-round pick as well. So we have this is a pretty good defensive back class. I'm really looking forward to seeing all these guys play next year. And I do think that a lot of teams are going to be satisfied with most of these prospects in the rookie year. Well, that's going to conclude today's episode. Anthony will be back tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow as well, and I will discuss any type of news that occurs over the next 24 hours. I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, I'm Jeremiah. This was the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, and you guys have a good day and have a pleasant tomorrow.
You've been-
been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.